Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Life is short, and it's full of a lot of interesting questions. What does happiness really mean? How do I get the most out of my time here on Earth? And what really is the best cereal? These are the questions I seek to resolve on my weekly podcast, Life is Short with Justin Long. Follow Life is Short wherever you get your podcasts. You can also listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on ye old broves. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you doing today? Getting a little excited over there, Ben?
Oh, yeah. Just a nice maelstrom of stress and excitement leading up to the crappies on Friday. It's like, this is the time where I say, why do we do this to ourselves every year? Why don't we just like sit down with a printout and just read it? Why do we make ourselves crazy with these crappy awards? But it's worth it. It's always worth it.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. That elephant you hired is going to be amazing. So, guys, the crappy...
So glad I'm taking aerialist classes.
Everyone get ready for a big sash. I saw Aladdin. That's who we should have invited. I went to Aladdin Friday night because my friend had some tickets that she wasn't using. I think she was up the street seeing Sweeney Todd at the Opera House. I was like, wow, swanky life. You know? So anyway, she gave me and my sister her tickets and we went to Aladdin. Okay. And let me tell you, I sat through that bullshit for the carpet ride. What the fuck kind of carpet ride is that? I mean, I get that carpets don't really fly. Okay. I get it. But I need to believe they do. You can't just, I can't hear like, and then it has a carpet that literally is a big wooden platform with some fringe on it, slowly making turns around a stage. Shame on you, Aladdin. Shame on you. Otherwise, very good. Good job, kids. Okay, if any of you are listening to this, great job.
Rihanna has raised the game or has whatever, raised the bar. For floating platforms, okay? So now we expect much more out of our flying carpets. After we saw Rihanna basically doing a performance on a levitating cell phone, you know, we want our carpets to also give us the same magic and mystique.
Yeah, true. Rihanna really fucked over Aladdin, the tour. I'm assuming it's better on Broadway. I don't know. Things usually are. But yeah, Rihanna really fucked that tour over because... No, we're like, we saw Rihanna do this 2 seconds ago, and it was much better. Now you're telling me you can only make very shallow U-turns on this and then they can't light it, you know, because it's being lifted from below. So their lights are like flashlights on the actual carpet lighting their face. I'm like, wait, two children telling each other scary stories? Get me the hell out of here. I was so mad. I was like, get me out of this theater. I'm going to lose it. Thankfully, the genie was very talented.
I was gonna
say, so was Jasmine.
How was the landmark song "A Whole Outdated World"?
Well, you know, I never realized how offensive that musical was, but I'm like, guys, how many things are you gonna rhyme with baklava? Like how many rhymes are you gonna have in here with baklava or like hummus? You know,
I can't. Balaclava, yeah. Baklava.
It's hot like lava. I love baklava. I mean, so many things. Well, I was actually shocked. But I was like a little girl because I was like, oh my God, Princess Jasmine's so pretty. I love her. I look up to her.
Literally, she's on a magic carpet. A slow-moving, wide-turning magic carpet that has the handling of like a 1997 Ford Escape.
Yeah. So we saw that. So yeah, in other words, we're going on tour just like Aladdin. We are already there, but this week we're going to Phoenix first. We're going to have a little Crappens pre-show over there. And then we're going to be recapping the Real Housewives of Miami. And then the next night we are in Los Angeles, Ben's hometown, my ex-homotown. And, that's where we are going to be doing the Crappy Awards at the Wilton Theater. It's going to be huge. So much fun watching Ben put all this together as I lay back and complain. And it's going to be a really fun show.
You had COVID. You had COVID, so you have that excuse.
COVID really is also, a bitch. And by the way, just in case anybody needs some fresh COVID updates in their life, COVID fucking sucks. Fuck you, COVID. Okay, fuck you and your mother, too.
It's like a non-magic carpet. It's just a carpet. Just there. Keeping you down.
Yeah.
You're not rising up.
Also, they recast the parrot as a person. I came to see a talking parrot, not a fucking person. You know? Like, you can't just recast a parrot.
Iago?
Yeah. They cast it as, like, a chunky guy. And, of course, they made it. They're like, well, he needs to be kind of, like, animalistic. Make him fat! Like, fuck you guys. You know, fuck you, Aladdin. I'm getting so mad at this show. Okay, but the crappies, you guys should definitely come. That's going to be fun. I'm going to be Ben's parrot. And
wait till you see SpongeBob the Musical. Wait till you see how they make SpongeBob look.
You know, I missed the SpongeBob train. That is one train I never joined. I think I was a little too old for that when it came out. And people post SpongeBob memes all the time. And I just don't like sponges. Like, I'm just not a sponge. I like bath sponges, but I hate dish sponges. I never understand why they smell the way they do. I just never got into it.
I was, believe it or not, I was an intern at Nickelodeon at the year 2000. So, like, right when SpongeBob was sort of hitting pop culture. So, I feel very connected to him. I felt like I was really swept up into the SpongeBob mania of that time. And, you know, I'm down. I'm down with SpongeBob.
Well, who knows? Maybe SpongeBob's going to be a presenter this year at the Crappies, which you guys should come to. Okay, so you get those tickets at watchwhatcrappens.com. Also, tons of other cities. We're going to, like, 2021. Places. So go get your tickets. We'll read them all to you next week. I know you've heard them a lot. Also, if you want tickets to the Crappies but are not going to be in Los Angeles, okay, because you have a life someplace else, you can watch the Crappies online streaming from Moment House. So just go to watchwhatcrappens.com to buy tickets for all of that good stuff. And today, Ben is a malignant uterus.
Wow.
Ben,
wow.
You and your malignant. Maligning.
Dwindling.
Dwindling uterus. Today is the Real Housewives of Potomac reunion part one for season 7.
Candace, you're doing so well all season, and then you're going to shame Giselle's uterus after her hysterectomy. I mean, Candace, listen, you are a nominee for Best Bravo Celebrity, okay? We have put our necks out for you, in fact. And this is how you're going to do it? This is what you're going to do to us, Candace?
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't tell a woman who just had a hysterectomy, like, you and your dwindling uterus. I mean, that's just terrible. I mean, is it the kind of terrible that I laughed like this?
I laughed when, oh, yes. My God.
Well, how
I was like,
rude,
that's disgusting. I was, like, laughing at, like, the audacity of it.
I was laughing at her wordplay this whole time, because she started doing this, like, giving a speech thing when she's reading people, you know, because people love a good Candace, you know, calling people fat read or whatever her choices of that
latest
day
is.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And she just will find whatever big words to put together just to read people to filth about, like, having big feet. Or whatever she's going to. She'll just use the most creative words for the simplest reads. And it was cracking me up the whole reunion. Who really got fucked this one was Mia. And you have to hand it to her. She does not give a fuck. She will just show up no matter what. I can't believe she can even show her face after how many times she lied. And is still lying. And is broke. And she still just shows up.
Yeah, she is... That just shows the draw of fame. I mean, she just came onto the stage and just lied her ass off. Lied so ineptly, too. Like, this is someone you never want to have, like, you don't want to commit a crime with this woman, okay? She's not going to hold up to, like, even the lightest interrogation. She'll be sitting in the reception area waiting to be interrogated, and the receptionist will ask some stupid question like, hey, hon, how's your day going? Well, it's night, so it's going pretty well. No, hon, it's day. Oh, well, I did commit the crime, so who knows?
Well, I wouldn't know because it's so shiny in here because I stole so many diamonds. It's like, okay, you're going to jail now. Lose
your story completely. You barely even had a story, and it's already collapsed. But oh my god, I was cracking. It was just amazing.
She's terrible. So Wendy just showed up and laughed the whole time, which I think is the best move. I think that is
yeah,
the best move. She didn't let them get to her, which I was proud of her because, man, they pick at Wendy. They pick on Wendy every single time until they just break her. And this time she's like, no, I came dressed like, I don't know, like a wonton. I mean, I don't know what her dress was.
Like a wonton.
It's like a fortune cookie, I meant. Like there's some kind of weird... Oh. Like a sculpture. Structure. Okay, listen, Giselle looks like if a whorehouse was throwing a charity gala and they were wrapping their silverware and putting napkin rings on them, that's how Giselle looked. And I know we're all like on Giselle all the time, but Giselle is not the only problem tonight. These looks were crazy. Yeah,
I thought that it all looked a little crazy. Because clearly there was a memo out like where everyone wear this very specific shade of blue. I don't know, is that royal blue or whatever, but it was like a potent blue. And it's just, I think it's a hard color to always pull off. It was like Rinna's finale dress in Beverly Hills, that thing that people are wearing where it's like you look like you're in kind of like a sock with gloves attached.
It's like that Balenciaga and thing, I think. That's what it is. Like where is it's like a whole bodysuit that even covers your hands and your feet.
Yeah, and it's like that bright blue. And then someone said, I want an entire reunion of people wearing that color. So I think it's just like a hard color. And there was just like some wild, just wild some things going on.
It went so far beyond color. Okay, so they're also using a lot of, I guess it's still in fashion to use that like pantyhose material. Where
like the like figure skater,
yeah.
Like Karen had something that made it look like she had little like shoulder horns.
Yes, and Mia had that as well. Like instead of just being bare chested, you know, with your dress showing your chest, they put that pantyhose shit on you, like you're about to rob a bank, like your boobs are about to rob a bank.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
there's the crime. There it is.
So Karen's. Not everybody can wear that. Okay. And Karen's was just placed in such a way. It was a little too high up on her neck. So her neck is kind of cascading down. I'm trying to find a way that's not horrible, like in shaming, because I don't mean to be shaming, but like her neck is kind of coming down, but then this stuff is pressing her skin flat. And it's just a crazy look. Like one time that's not a very good example. Okay, here's one. One time I was cleaning my feet in my shower, and I have like a glass side to my shower and a mirror outside my shower, so I see myself naked. Now, it was supposed to shame me into getting thin. It didn't really work. Now, I just play with my fat while I'm in the shower and like make it into different shapes. Anyway, the point is, I was leaning down cleaning my foot, okay, and I was leaning against the glass, and my arm and my chest kind of chunk was leaning on this glass, and I happened to look over and catch what it looked like in the mirror. That's what it looks like. Don't wear this. Don't wear this fabric. It never works.
Yeah, it was a lot going on. It was a lot. And especially what was funny was that it was like, hey, we designed the set to welcome you back to Miami, but we gave you a color scheme that's not Miami whatsoever. Like, what did I don't understand what the connection to the set in Miami had to do with this royal blue that they were wearing.
I think because they obviously went to Miami, and then Real Housewives of Miami, Larsa wears that big, stupid purple Balenciaga dress. That's all I can think of. It's like some weird gay DD thing that some PA came
up with. I felt like it was just like some trolling. Someone just wanted to troll them all. That's all I can come up with.
Someone was just mad at this cast. All right, so let's get into it. So we don't even start at the reunion because so much happened since the finale that we
thanks
start
to Robin.
Off. Yes, thanks to Robin and Juan. So we see flowers and then the American flag and then a bird like chilling.
A dove, like a morning dove or something.
Yeah, and it's January 31st. No,
morning doves are a stupid call.
Yeah, they're so, like, so fancy. Like do something. Just sit.
The morning doves are always like, woohoo. I'm like, you know what, just give us one who. I don't need the whole tale.
I feel like doves are really annoying with their who's because they go like, don't they have that kind of who where they're like,
I thought that they probably do. I thought the morning doves are the ones that go, I'm pretty sure
so all the different doves have different calls. There's not just
I don't know. I can only I can only speak to mourning doves because one time one got on my balcony. I mean, they're beautiful, but it was like on my balcony and it was doing the whole, I'm like, okay, you have like, can you truncate that, please? I don't have time to get to the end of your call.
Fucking
now birds. I have to look up a mourning dove's call. Mourning dove call. Okay, I'm going to turn on the internet so that way people can hear what the mourning dove call sounds like. So that way, watch this and be like a YouTube ad. I apologize if there's a YouTube. Here we go. You hear it?
Oh, Jesus. Was that it?
No, it hasn't done it yet.
That's hideous.
It's like waiting. Come on, dove. It's like a video of a dove right now.
Oh.
There it is. Wow. Classic.
Oh, wow.
It's very Robin.
Yeah, so this is the Mourning Dove podcast with Robin and Giselle. And we hear the audio, which we've talked about, but we'll go over it again. Giselle saying, Robin, nah, there is some sort of strumpet out here making claims about Juan Dixon, nah. And Robin's like, well, a young lady came forward. No, we don't have footage of this, so please show a statue of a lion outside of a library. Thank you.
Yeah, she's like, oh, she said that she and Juan dated in COVID, and then she shows this hotel receipt with his name on it, and I was aware of the situation before we filmed in season 7, and this young lady was so pressed to tell you and me that she DM'd me.
And I will say, yes, Juan was an idiot and communicated with this woman on Instagram. I almost want to share the details on Patreon. And then Giselle's like, oh, yes, you better go subscribe. That's low. Okay, there's a few things that are low. A, Juan is cheating again. Okay, that's low. Fuck off, Juan. Like, stop. That's not cool. Cheat on Robin. You know, I'm bored too. You know, I'm bored with Robin too. I don't get to cheat. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's not cool. Also, going around fucking and cheating during COVID, the rest of us were stuck in here. Okay? That's not fair that you're going off to casinos and fucking people during COVID. Okay? I couldn't even get groceries. The rest of us were wiping our butts with our hands. And you're out there fucking.
Yeah. Good point. It's wrong. It's wrong.
General wrongness, okay? So then we get the best part of this story, which is a squirrel just sitting there eating his nuts and staring into the camera. Like, what?
Mm. Like, oh, is this still happening? And then we go to 2 weeks. Squirrel's like, can someone shut up that morning, dove? I'm just trying to get my nuts.
Right.
Which is probably similar to what Juan was saying. So then 2 weeks earlier, and now it's five. Oh, I'm sorry, no. Then we see Watch What Happens Live on February 5th, 2023. And Andy's like, Robin, this week you admitted on your podcast that Juan had been involved with another woman. You withhold the truth on a reality show you're on, but then you sell behind a paywall. Chris was the sacrificial lamb when you had skeletons in your closet.
Well, we all have skeletons, I believe. And so 2 weeks earlier, Times Square, empty, sad streets in New York City. Juan getting a blowjob from someone behind a dumpster. We're here. We're at the reunion.
Yeah, everyone's showing up. They're kind of stretching this out. We see lots of like granular detail, them arriving. Ashley shows up in a blonde wig, and then Wendy's getting into a wig, and then people are getting makeup done. Now Andy does the thing where he walks into everyone's dressing room. He's like, hey, the grand dame, how do you feel about Charisse being here today? And she's like, well, Andy, I think Charisse deserves to be here today. I mean, you guys filmed with her, and God knows you put her wherever you could.
He's like, okay, I'm done with you. Hey, Mia, I have a lot of questions about your marriage, Mia. It's like, my health, my marriage, my health, my best friend. And he's like, okay, if you say so. So what do you look forward to clearing up most today? Please say it's one of your illnesses, because there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them.
All of the above. Check, check, check. We have things to do, Andy.
So then he goes and knocks on Robin's door. It's Robin and Giselle are sharing a dressing room. He's like, oh, the bandits are sharing a dressing room. Are anything you guys are nervous about today? Anything you want to get off your chest? Any confessions? Any information that was not shared on the show that you were thinking about sharing on your podcast, potentially Patreon, but you'd like to share at the reunion instead?
So they both look crazy as well. Their dresses look absolutely crazy. I'm not sure. Robin's looks like a curtain rod made out of bedazzled stuff with blue stuff hanging down from it. And he's like, Robin, you're a married lady. Now are we going to see Juan later? And she's like, no, he's working. And Andy's like, oh, darn, I thought so. And then we get a as Robin looks at him like, what, am I not good enough? No, Robin. No, Robin, you're not. Okay? You're not good enough. Otherwise, you wouldn't keep Juan around.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's commercial.
Meet Jill Evans. Jill's got it all. A big house, fast car, two kids, and a great career. But Jill has a problem. When it comes to love, Jill can never seem to get things right. And then along comes Dean.
I can't believe my luck. Whoa, I've hit the jackpot.
It looks like they're going to live happily ever after. But on Halloween night, things get a little gruesome.
This is where the shooting happened outside a building society in New Romney. It's thought the 42-year-old victim was killed after he opened fire on police.
And Jill's life is changed forever. From Wondery and Novel comes Stolen Hearts, a story about a cop who falls in love with a man who is not all he seems to be. I'm Kerry Godleyman. Follow Stolen Hearts on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free by subscribing to Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app.
So then Andy goes to Candace and he's like, oh, Candace, you got a lot of crap this whole season, including Chris. And Candace is like, and he hasn't had a chance to speak, even though he was on the program when he had many chances to speak on the program.
Yeah, except all season. She's like, and here's a gift, Christmas Mazalandi. And it's a shirt that she has made for herself with her Not Today Satan quote, which... not of a fan of people selling their own quotes like that.
Yeah, let us do that. But like when you do your own quote, it's a little, I don't know, it's not as fun.
It's very Dorinda at the trademark office, you know? It loses the spark when you're gifting me your own quotes. You know, I start thinking of all the things you could be giving me, okay? Although it was a good quote, fun quote.
Great quote, excellent quote, but it's like, reminiscent of like when Kyle Richards started owning Goodbye Kyle, and I was like, no.
Yeah, that's our shirt. That's our shirt.
That's ours.
So then Wendy, who is in the prettiest dress so far, I think she looks beautiful. And the producer is sitting. So first of all, everyone's getting confused because the producers are starting to seat them on the couch. Mm-hmm. And Giselle's like, wait a minute, where's Wendy? Yeah. And Robin's like, most random seating ever.
Yeah, they're all like, I think they all had predictions of where they'd be sitting, and it's all been destroyed. So Andy's like, well, tonight we are bringing down a wild seventh season that shook up the group and shook up some tables. As you can see, we are transported back to Miami. Can't you tell by this West Side Story set we somehow imported? It's Miami, right?
Okay, so you know how I just said Wendy's the best dressed? I think Wendy does still look beautiful, but you guys have to think of how the dresses look when you sit down, because now she just looks like she's got like a tostada that she's trying to eat but can't reach. It's like she's sitting behind a tostada.
An unreachable tostada. I have to pull up a picture. I gotta see what this looks like again, because I can't remember.
It's just a really stiff kind of wing coming off of her chest.
Okay, wait. I'm looking. Okay, wait. No, that's Giselle. It's not what I'm looking for. Come on. I'm going to the gallery. I need to get confirmation of like tostada. Candace, I think, actually might look the best.
Candace looks crazy. I love that Andy compared it to the Cookie Monster.
Wendy has like a peacock feather. It has like a feather coming across her. It's like she's been, it's almost like there's a bird to the side of her that's flapping its wings and got into the frame.
But it's always there. I don't know why people, it's like when Jen Shah wore two giant feathered plants on her shoulders and then had to keep like looking around them at that reunion. So then, let's see. So Andy's like, hello, Grandam. You're the Muhammad Ali of live shows, huh? It's like, well, I don't need to be the Muhammad Ali today, but if it's necessary, I will be.
Hi, Ashley. You're positively glowing, and I can see because there's nothing that I can't see at this point. Are you even wearing fabric on your body? Hey, how's single life?
Well, it's really great, you know, just living alone, waiting for Michael to start turning the air conditioning up via the air conditioning app and trick me. Super fun. Super fun, Andy. Going great.
How big is Luke's penis? There, I'll just ask.
He hasn't kept one woman in 10 years, Andy, on this channel. So how do you think it is?
He's like, so, well, we talked about why didn't it work with you and Luke on Summer House? And we see a flashback to Watch What Happens Live where it sounds like Michael, I can't tell if it was Michael wasn't thrilled with the arrangement or Luke wasn't thrilled. It sounded like Luke was getting frustrated. It sounds like Michael was butting. Michael was probably being our cock block. I'm assuming all of the above, right?
Yeah, it sucks. And she's like, but he was a trooper. And then he's like, whoa, Giselle, speaking of dating Bravo celebrities, Jason, huh? And he's like, you know, I've got to tell you something. You guys are a very good couple. You're very good looking together. And she's like, I agree, yeah. And when he goes, wait, Andy, you missed this. I asked if Jason hooked them up because of Luke. And then I got the tea. Okay. And now she's like,
yeah, Giselle said, what's the deal with Jason? So I asked Luke for his number.
And Wendy's like, yes, yes. It's like, whoa, good one.
That's
good
scoop, tea. Wendy. Great, like very obvious logical tea. Wow. Why did this random person who's like not even like, why did this very charming and lovely and very hot guy who's also like kind of ancillary on Winter House, how did he ever get cross paths with the co-star of the girl that his co-star is dating?
Nuts. Glad you're here. So then Andy's like, well, Robin Hell has frozen over. You are a married woman, Robin! And she's like, yeah, Andy, second time around. And then Karen just stares at the camera like this.
She scrunches her face. She's like, now would be a good time to see if my nose can touch my chin.
She really does. And he's like, whoa, Karen, is your nose trying to do the hula hoop or what? She's like,
So then it's like, so Robin, how does it feel? Like it did before. And it just got sort of Karen just yawning. She's like, security.
Karen, you didn't think it would happen. She goes, well, Andy, I didn't think it would happen, but I'm glad it did. And Robin goes, doubt it.
Hey, Karen goes, Okay. Hi, Candace. Question. Can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street? Because I have kids.
I'm a dad now. And Candace is like, ask Ashley. She has the keys, Andy. And he's like, okay, now I will say this before the internet does. You look like Cookie Monster. Why was that on purpose? She's like, maybe it was, Andy. Maybe it was. It'll be on my new album, Deep Space Cookies. Has two new Sesame songs. There are two new songs which shall be released in season 8 and 9.
Yes. By the way, I don't think it was an ode to Sesame Street. I think that she just made a pivot on the spot. Also, I don't feel like I saw anyone comparing the two either. So, So then Andy's like, okay, well, cool, Cookie Monster. Hey, Wendy, how is your health? Are you drinking water? Are you drinking red wine? And she's like, well, Andy, I'm drinking some wine, I'm drinking tequila, and I'm drinking water. Great! Well, so glad you're here at this reunion. I'll see you next year.
Yeah. That was a good one. Hey, I'd like to thank whoever came up with the question, Wendy, are you drinking more water? Thanks for that. That was good. It's like, Wendy, are you trying? Are you just trying to go? Are you just done now? Like, what's your deal? That's sad. So then Andy's like, well, Mia, does a frog have a water joint asshole?
Yes, it does. And they also have spines that need to be adjusted at the joint chiropractic for frogs. Great. Now, have you been sued for plagiarism by the writers of Big Business yet, where that joke originated and never gave it credit?
What is this, how we come dressed in the office? You look like a blood clot, Andy.
So then...
All right.
Andy's like, okay, guys, listen, how I know that you guys aren't happy about the seating, and Candace goes, it was your design. Why are you asking us how we feel? And he's like, I was just a voice in a room of producers. And a lot of times it's decided by who you're getting along with. And if you're not getting along, typically we're not going to put you next to each other. But frankly, at this point, you all hate each other. We just wanted to see what it would be like not having Giselle's hand up Robin's bunghole this time. So they're on different couches. Everything else is just thrown up in the air.
This is my way of registering to America that I did not approve these sofas, so I'm going to complain about them in a way that sounds like I'm explaining it, but I'm really complaining because I'm merely just a voice. Somehow, executive producer and face of a network, just a voice amongst many others. Glad to hear the PA got a decision, too.
There's a short guy in a tight suit named Randy Tone, who's just come on board and started making all sorts of decisions. And Andy's getting, yeah, you know, like it's like Andy's little twin is coming along, you know, he's starting to get that like, yeah, he's starting to get that like, you're not going to replace me. This couch is wrong and I'm not going to take it anymore.
He was not happy. That was how I took it.
And you know, Randy's was like, sitting there like, LOL queen, go home to your children.
So then, and it's just Kyle from Below Deck Mid. He's just there in a big puffy jacket. Oh, I call the shorts now.
Frank, I love you, Frank.
So, I love these ghost offers, Frank.
So Andy's like, oh, it's a puzzle. So Ashley, this season you had a very public fake split. Your friends weren't willing to co-sign your unconventional living situation. Let's have an Ashley clip, because God, she sure tried. All right.
So it's an Ashley montage. And then we come back. It's like, so you got a new house. Where's it close by? And she's like,
yeah, it's like 7 minutes from the townhouse. Wow. So when Michael jerks off, you still might get some splatter.
Yeah, Andy, because it's actually just 2 miles from the strip club. I just did my own sound horns because I don't really have the money to hire anybody to do that right now at the moment. So.
I thought I was going to be getting sad horns in the prenup, but apparently he keeps all the sad horns.
He had sad horns before he married me, apparently, so.
So.
He invested in the sad horns. So, yeah.
He was the first one to really believe in Rachel from SNL, who came up with the sad horns, so. Fortunately, anything.
Sorry, that was my whistle. I thought I'd be having a slide whistle, but he got that too. So I just have a regular whistle.
What was her
name? Rachel Dratch.
Yeah, Rachel Dratch from SNL. Okay, so Andy's like, well, how is it? Are you guys still getting along? She's like, well, Michael has a key to the house because we have kids together, you know. I mean, I have a key to his house too. Of course, my house is somewhere with crackers and children and fun things, and his house is just sperm and unpaid maids, but... Still, it's a fair switch, I think.
Yeah, it's totally fair. Like, I mean, I have a key to a townhouse, so it's like a big plastic key that's like really chunky and made of Legos. And
says my name on it. Works.
It has like a thing, a crank on it, and you crank it, and it plays Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. It's really cute.
You realize you don't have a key to his place, just a toy.
And Andy is so funny how he's gay, so he just doesn't understand. And I mean, I guess we don't understand vaginas, but I feel like we're still just human beings. Like, we still understand basic things, but Andy's like on a different gay planet. He's like, He's like, I don't know. I started to talk too much because I was like thinking about what I was saying. And I was like, this is wrong. But he's like, well, if my ex had a key to my house and I had a visitor, I'd be a little freaked out. Andy, A, which ex? And B, I wouldn't give any of those grinder twinks a key either. She has kids with this man. It's a little bit different, you know?
Oh, I don't think, I don't think Michael gets a key. I don't know. I haven't been in this territory, but I've watched Lifetime movies, and that's enough for me to say he does not get a key. What he gets is a cell phone. What he gets is the number 911 put on a little card. So if there is an issue, he can call 911 and 911 can break in. But he does not get a key. We don't need Gollum busting in the middle of, you know, she's having romantic times with Luke. Okay. You don't need Gollum popping up in the middle of that. Or she was having romantic times with Luke.
Yeah. Well, I don't think she was around the kids because she said she, well, that leads to this next part.
But that's the thing though. If he has a key, like I think Michael is the type that would like in the middle of the night, let himself in and then like watch from the door while you're doing whatever. That's a Michael Darby thing. Jerking off in the corner, getting all excited.
Yeah. You know, he's got that place slivered out. Like he's got cameras it is everywhere.
Full sliver. Yeah. Like she's like,
yeah, it's strange. My Ring doorbell now just plays that song by UB40.
I know. Andy's like, isn't he mad that you're bringing Luke over and getting Luke naked in front of all of those teddy bear cameras you have around the house? We're going to come to find out that Michael actually ordered Luke. You know, well, hello there. Oh, I'm just looking to hire a hockey player for my child's birthday party. Please show up at this address in a jock strap. Thank you.
It's like Enigma's playing with that song with the pan pipes or whatever, or the pan flute. It's like, doo, 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 doo. It's like, oh, doo, 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 doo. Remember?
It's all I can't remember the exact
1992.
Song. Oh, what'd God, you say? That movie. I don't remember the exact song right now. I'll look it up later there so we can
There's only one real Enigma. There's multiple Enigma songs, but there's really only one because they all sound the same. It's always like, it's like a hushed whisper being like, ah, bonjour. Do, 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 do.
Hold on, I'm playing it.
There's two songs. So there's the other song that was on the radio one. That's not the one.
Do you hear it? I'm going to take off my mic.
This one? Yeah, there it is. That's not the one, but it's basically, they all sound the same.
I've got a putt for you.
It's more like incantations to a beat. Michael's jerking off as he's listening to this. He jerks off to Enigma. I'm telling you that right now.
I'm not the only television star right now.
Michael is bare-chested. He's bare-chested and clasping both of his shoulders, and his eyes are closed, and he's just, like, rotating.
Yeah. Michael's just standing in his underwear at a mirror checking his cell phone messages. Luke's like taking pictures on his phone. Okay, let me turn that off just in case Enigma's listening. And they're like, oh, 30 minutes, that was more than 30 seconds. Get our money for that wild banshee siren song we did for Slipper.
I think the song is called Carly's Song.
That's it. God, my next audition song. Okay, so they talk about Michael. And there was some serious boundary issues with Luke, and they're not really dating anymore because there was an incident where it was a long weekend. And by the way, why is it President's Day again? Okay, it's what I was talking to my friend earlier, and she's like, how many President's Days are there? And I agree with her. It was a long weekend, and Michael was supposed to have the kids till Monday, but he forgot, so he brought them back Sunday. And so then forget. Luke had to leave. He didn't forget.
Yeah. He did not forget. Michael did not forget. Michael's like, hold on 1 second. I'm going to go see Enigma tomorrow at the Baltimore Concert Center.
Enigma's not going to jerk its own audience off tomorrow night.
Dropping off these kids, and if it happens to be a cock block, so be it, because my cock shall not be blocked.
I've got enough footage for this weekend. Thank you. So, yeah, he showed up, dropped the kids off. So Luke had to leave and get back on the train for New York City. And Andy's like, well, you're not allowed. You can't look up just because you have kids. What the hell? What kind of rules are you following? And she's like, well, she's don't know Luke that well. Yeah. I'd only spoken to him for like a month, right?
Right. So,
and yeah, Wendy's like, yeah, well, that's good because you're a mother now. And that's why I drink a lot of water. So.
Wow, Wendy, thanks for that interesting info, Wendy.
Hey, what advice did Luke give you about Michael?
Well, he said that I need to enforce stricter boundaries. Don't touch the fireworks. And put a plastic bag on the trees and see what happens.
Stupid. So Andy's like, is there a chance for you and Luke? Please say it. Please say it. I love him. Hot dish. Oh my God, what a bone. And she's like, I don't know. But I started falling in love with him. And so Mia's like, oh no. And then Ash, so now they're all basically booing her. And she's like, listen, this is the first time since the divorce, and I haven't had someone giving me love and affection for so long. I was like, I know. I remember when you got that sexy hotel room for Michael. And he's like, wow, a toilet that plays with your ass. I'll be back. And then stayed in there for the rest of the night.
Ashley can't live without his love and affection. It's like Nelson.
I can't live without your love and affection.
It's like getting out of the bath. It's like being out of the bath for like an hour, and you're like, "Oh my God, I miss what my thumbs looked like an hour ago."
Michael completely sad.
I don't even know where I'm coming wrinkles. From today. But I don't even care. Okay,
I'm just mad because I feel like Michael sabotaged this relationship. I was really rooting for Luke and Ashley. Not that I saw that it had, you know, longevity, but I thought it had more time. And like I think that she's like entitled to a hot model who makes maple syrup, and I feel like Michael encroached on it a lot, and I'm upset.
Ashley, come on, let's be honest. Ashley needs another Michael, okay? She needs another Michael who's not going to make her sign the kind of prenup that she just signed, because wow, that doesn't sound great. But I never know with Ashley, because Ashley's so good at making herself sound like such an innocent victim. And I buy it all the time, you know? We have listeners who are like, why don't you guys ever give Ashley shit? And I'm like, whatever she's pulling off, she just has this attitude about it that's like, whoops! You know?
Yeah.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So then Andy's like, well, I've got to wonder, Ashley. I mean, no disrespect to Michael, but if you give me a moment, I feel like spiraling right now. If I were married to you and we break up and then you're on TikTok dancing around and you look as great as you do, and then you start dating Luke, this former hockey player with a body of granite, pecs of steel and granite together, making maple syrup and hot dishes, I would feel impotent. I would feel like I had a penis that was pointing into my intestines because it's basically inverted. You think he felt that way?
I'm not really sure, Andy. We didn't really even get to the thumb up the butthole part yet, but I'll try next time.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. That fire was worth it for me. So they're like, they talk about the stupid divorce thing more. And then Robin goes, so they say that Ashley says that Michael is also dating. And Robin's like, oh, really? Well, what is the divorce already? Do you even have a date? I'm like, okay, lady who's made us sit here for literally 7 years. To watch you have a fake wedding in your backyard. What the fuck?
I don't want to hear about timelines from Robin. Okay? I don't even want to hear about the movie timeline from her. I don't care.
I wouldn't even do lines with Robin.
Or whether it's... Yeah. I don't even care if she tells me a story about waiting at the newsstand to pick up an issue of Time magazine. I don't want to hear any timelines.
So, Andy's like, so what's the status of the prenup? Are you going to get half? And she's like, no, man, didn't work out in my favor. And he's like, wow.
So, the money that Michael made that he put into the projects, like, as late that later is all considered to be his money because, like, this sort of happened before we met. And so, like, he made that money prior to us getting married. And it turns out he invested his entire bank account into projects. So there's no money for me whatsoever.
And Robin and Candace are just not buying this. They're giving her these looks, right? And Ashley's like, yeah, I made the money before we married, so that's his money. And Giselle's like, do you know what he's worth and where his money is? And Robin's like, wait, so no lump sum payment? Ha, ha, ha. And Ashley's saying she's not even allowed alimony according to the prenup that she signed. And they all basically boo her. They're like, boo, you suck.
Yeah, they're basically like, there's got to be money that you're owed, you know? And Giselle's like, she doesn't even know how much that money would be, because she doesn't know what sort of money he even has.
And then Mia goes, she needed another baby. And Robin goes, two wasn't enough. Jeez, that's so dark.
Seriously.
So Andy's like, sorry, go ahead, babe.
No, he's like, so are you going to get anything from him outside of child support and terrible memories? And she's like, no, well, I get this house. And then I also get to have him come over in the middle of the night while I'm connecting with a really hot guy. And also there's some safety nets in case of difficulties. For instance, he has punched out 3 of the punches on my subway card. So footlong, free footlong coming up soon.
See you soon, tuna footlong.
So Andy's like, well, Peanut from Butterball says, Ashley, I don't believe that you and Michael are divorcing because he wants threesomes. You've looked the other way for years. Just admit it's because the prenup is up, the kids are out, and you want to secure the bag. And Mia goes, she did not secure the bag.
She really didn't, it sounds like. So Ashley says that she really does want monogamy. And and then Andy turns to Mia and goes, Mia, you clearly don't share that commitment to monogamy. It's like, whoa. Out of nowhere. Like, oh, you thought you were safe on that side of the sofa?
And Andy's like, Giselle's like, Andy's on the roll today, yeah. She's like, well, what's your questions? Listen, things did change. So we're not as open as we were because we have kids now. Kids who like pancakes made out of crayons, chocolate chips, not gluten, though. But one thing I know is all those ways that I got my husband, I have to keep doing those things for my husband, which is why I always have ping pongs ready and some decent A1 sauce, Andy.
Interesting. And then she goes, I mean, it's not fair to him if I change. Like, great. Love that anti-evolving statement you just made. Like, so I could mature, I could like evolve as a person, but that's not fair to my husband. So but I'm gonna stay
I love same. Proud hoery, you know, I love pride in your work. I love someone that's like, listen, here's how I got him. He was a customer at a strip place, took me home a few times, and we had massive crazy coke orgies, and I can't tell him now, no. Like, that's how we met. I mean, what are you going to not dance to your favorite song at your wedding? Come on, Andy.
No, it's like if you did like a fake Australian accent the day that you fell in love with the love of your life, and you just have to do that accent until the rest of your life. Like, you can't, you're committed. We've all seen those movies. We've seen Tootsie. Okay. You've got to commit. Okay. Cause if you don't, then you're going to have a very awkward moment on television with Dabney Coleman nearby. Is Dabney Coleman in Tootsie? Did I misspeak?
I feel like Dabney Coleman's in all of those, right?
Yes, let's be honest.
I think he's like in all of those movies.
I'll look it up.
So Tootsie wasn't my favorite. I just thought that he wasn't a great drag queen, and I was at that time. I was like, it's not funny when a straight guy is like, I'm going to dress like a woman. That's not funny to me. Like, I even as a kid, I thought that was just stupid and gross. I mean, it's an art form. It's like you have to be fabulous. It takes something to carry that off. I'm sorry, Dustin. You just know.
Well, first of all, Dabney Coleman was in Tootsie. I think he was like the director, the predatory director. Second of all, it is funny because Dustin Hoffman's doing drag, but it's one of the few cases. It's like a non-fabulous drag. It's like, oh, I'm gonna be a very homely lady that will capture the attention of America.
Right, okay. Which I guess is why I like that Tootsie
though. Still,
yeah, Yeah. It's just, I haven't seen it
since I'm really in it for the theme song. I'm in it for the theme song by Stephen Bishop.
So anyway, basically, I like that Mia is aiming this at Ashley. Like, she's shaming Ashley. Like, oh, well.
Oh, yeah.
How dare you not want threesomes? Like, you promised a man threesomes, and then you try and take away his threesomes? It's like, Mia, you need to be nice. Like, you need somebody on your side today. You know? Like, shut it.
She really does. So Andy's like, okay. He goes, so Ashley, a few seasons ago, you called Candace the least accomplished person on the couch. This season, she has a flourishing music career while you've continued to tell us that you can't pay for your house and expenses without Michael. Do you think she's still the least accomplished, or is that you? That's mean. And then Giselle just cracks up. Giselle cracks up and is like, you can't just read it, and then say it's me, nah.
It's like, well, sorry, I'm just reacting. By the way, she also got a second college degree this year.
So Ashley apologizes to Candace, and she's like, and you know what? I just want to say, I'm also an accomplished woman, and no one's going to say, like, doesn't matter what anyone says, they can't detract them from the fact that I'm, like, really good at,
I just got a $2 million house. Winning!
So Candace is like, well, can I just say that I think it's very funny that when I first joined this group and I was living in a home my mother helped me pay for, the people in this group had a lot to say when my family took care of me, and you were one of those people. And then we see the knife swinging around clip and throwing the knife, the butter knife clip, and you will not talk about my mother in my home. And Ashley's like, and I stand by the fact that as an adult, at some point you have to be an adult and stand on your own. And she goes, which you are not. You couldn't have gotten that house without Michael. Okay, I'm sorry. Listen, she's also had the man's children. It's different when you're married to somebody and having their children and being their wife and everything else. That's a job. Being a daughter who gets a lot of money from their parents is not a job.
Yes, I actually think that, like, both are fine. They're like, it's like, I don't see what's the problem with either situation, but I'm enjoying them fighting over it. It's fun to watch.
Yeah. I think you have Michael's babies. That should be considered a job. There. Yeah, that is, I said it, you know?
That is a job.
Yeah.
So then Candace, then Ashley's like, well, this is obviously a very sensitive topic for you. And Candace is like, well, because I was maligned for reasons because of my generational wealth. And if you are able to attain the decorations that he put in these papers to distract you, I will pray, will have that for your children.
To bestow. What the fuck? What are you talking about? And if it's okay for you to make fun of Ashley just being married for money, then why isn't it okay for you to make fun of buying a house that your mom gave you? Like, why is, you can't say one thing's, they're equal, and then one of those things is wrong. You know what I mean? This didn't make much sense to me. Of course, I'm really one to talk today. Fucking listen to me.
Well, I think that Candace is just taking a little victory lap. She's like, you guys came down on me for this for years. So I'm going to go after it here. Like, this is your comeuppance. So Ashley's like,
well, when my children are 30 years old, they will have a home in their own name. John C. Riley.
Yeah, John C. Riley, LLC. Wah, 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 wah.
Titty Milk, LLC.
So,
thank you. So, and he's like, okay, so wrapping this up, your divorce is filed in February. You're going to keep your last name, right? She goes, yes, for my children. We are the Darbys.
And Ashley's like,
I know that I had a very emotional expression about what was going on with Michael and our parenting struggles.
And they show a clip of her, you know, talking about him. She goes,
but I do want to clarify that Michael is a great father, and we are really learning how to co-parent healthily. And I am not saying this under duress, and I am positive that my Keurig will be returned to me when I get home tonight because I said these things.
Michael's sitting on her couch in her new house like, hey, that's right. That's right. sipping a chai latte he just made in the Keurig he stole.
I know. You better change what you said about me, otherwise you are making your own coffee from scratch.
Yeah, I don't know that any of this was worth it, Ashley, but good luck to you. Okay. So then producers come out and they're pulling out the couch to sit Wendy further away, I guess. I don't know.
These huge couches. These couches can fit 12 people on them.
They're like, Wendy, we just thought that your wing needed some sour cream on it. So if you'll just move a little bit over here. So while they're doing that, Ashley and Giselle are talking about Luke off camera. And Giselle's like, didn't you see Luke last weekend? Me and my boy were partying at the club. And Ashley's like, well, we got in a fight on Sunday because he didn't want to come to Dulles. And I'm like, how rude. You obviously don't want to see me. Stop stringing me along. So I think we're done, though. I started talking to someone else anyway.
Giselle goes, well, maybe you should get a divorce first. Yeah, so now it's back from break, and Andy's like, all right, Mia, this past year you dealt with a mysterious health scare, and while you looked for answers, the other ladies found plenty to question. I'm looking at that. So then we see a montage, and Andy's like, first of all, let me express some faux sincerity. So happy to hear you are healthy and cancer-free.
Yeah, it's like, well, thanks, there's a lot going on, Andy. He's like, okay, so you had a rash? She goes, no, there's more than that. I had a limping node, so that's on a crutch. And then I had a cankle sore on my kidneys. I know it shouldn't affect me just because it's on my kids' knees, but somehow it does. And then I was growing a tooth out of my spine, which was kind of odd. Then I had a lump on my rear. We did a biopsy, and we thought it was Scarpiodosis T-rexidopius. And then I got a chest x-ray, and the test just came back and it said nice rack. So we're still working on it, Andy.
Yeah, there's been some complications. You know, when you need a the chest x-ray was hard because Karen won't let me speak to Ray's exes. So we're still trying to come up with like a way around that. And then I did get a lump sum payment myself. So that was scary, but you know, fingers crossed.
So Robin's like, what were you diagnosed with anyway? Murder? And Mia's like, here's the thing. I'm still under care and on medication. And we found tissue in my reproductive organs. And I was practicing for a scarf trick with my vagina. And I should have been using scarves and not tissue. But hey, you know, we're in a bargain bin sort of situation right now, Andy. So I don't want a full-on hysterectomy. And so when I saw Giselle deal with that, you know, I just don't want to talk about my organs. It's like, what the fuck? Is Mia talking about?
Well, I don't know, but there's been a lot of speculation online that maybe it was your body rejecting all the fillers or implants or augmentation or just stupidity. Did that come at all? Well, yeah, there was conversation because sarcoidosis is caused by fillers, so like there was concern about that, but luckily it wasn't that. Okay, cool. Hey, So Poopy from Poop Face says, Wendy, you're a hypocrite. You were caught on a hot mic saying you thought Mia was a liar right after you scolded Robin for doing the same. What do you have to say about that? She's like, well, I sent out a GIF. I thought I was done.
Yeah, I owned it real time, Andy. You know, I tweeted a funny GIF or something, but let me clear up what I said to Robin. And it's just how they were dealing with her. You know, like, I believe she had cancer, but I gave her the benefit of the doubt. And they're like, no, you didn't, Wendy. You said you didn't believe her, Wendy. And Mia goes, we all know she's lying. And Wendy goes, okay, well, then to make it clear, what I believe is that you were lying. You know, Wendy gets that really high laugh.
Well, why not say it to my face? Why smile to my face and then turn around like the snake that you are and say I'm lying? She goes, well, if you're seeing a dermatologist, that's like skin related. And if you talk about cancer, that's like an oncologist. And Mia's like, oh, I would love to bring you guys to the hospital. I'd love for you to see my husband filming it to show the world that I'm not damn lying. So Wendy's like,
yeah,
okay,
my opportunist husband. Yeah, she's like yours.
She's like, oh, okay, well, I'm sorry because my husband was really there and he was there to see me at 5 a.m. And maybe your next husband will be there for you too. Next question, Andy.
And Andy goes, wow. She goes,
yeah, maybe he will. Will you be happy then? Will you be happy then?
Like, oh my God, fighting with Mia. It's like fighting with a sheet in the wind. You know, no one's going to win.
No.
So then Andy's like, Mia, you recently posted that your businesses were taken away by G's brothers. I thought you were CEO. And then they cut to a clip of her going, we own 14 cracky crack chiropractors. And I guess who's the boss CEO in charge? Me.
Well, his brother is part owner of the company, and anytime you have, like, you have yourself and your partner on the bank account, either one of us can take either party off without the other person's consent. Yeah, and in fact, what you may not know is if you have a joint account, one person can replace the cash in the account with actual burgers. That's right. So you can actually deposit burgers in and get cash out. The only tricky thing is if you do it at an ATM, it makes a big mess, but they are accepted. I don't know if you knew that about banks.
And everyone's like, no, Mia, no. Everyone at the same time is like laughing and saying, none of that's true. She's like,
it is absolutely the truth, which is why I have a crinkle cut pickle in my mouth. And they all have the board meeting, and then they voted in a third member to the board.
And Candace goes, wait, but then who's on the board? It's just,
well, there's several members. Okay, we used to have managing members, and now we have three. And if you do the math, two is bigger than one. And so then they voted him out because he's one and they're two. And he doesn't have a day-to-day say now, and they can do whatever they want.
And Andy goes, but why did they vote him out? And she goes,
for numerous reasons. So we've partnered.
She actually goes, for numerous of reasons.
Yes, for numerous of reasons. We've partnered with some. Sometimes I don't know when I'm writing Mia lines down if I'm just misspelling it. Yeah.
She actually speaks typos. And I say that as someone who speaks typos myself.
Just little red lines are coming out of her mouth.
So actually, we partnered with a really big partner in Northern Virginia, and he's like a heavy hitter, so he definitely needed some back work done. So they were afraid that we were going to be pushing them out, which was not the case because of the purpose of our company is generational wealth. And I'm like, you just heard Candace say that and you just incorporated it. What is she talking about? There's a heavy hitter in the joint chiropractic space. What is it, like Gordon Gekko? Is this like what is she's like, what does this mean? There's a heavy hitter. Okay, like this is not Succession. Okay,
she's making no sense at
literally
all.
There was they're partnering with a big joint chiropractic partner in Northern Virginia, and they got scared that they were going to lose part of the joint chiropractic fortune.
Yeah, I don't know if she was fine if they found an investor to buy it out and they were going to sell it and then not talk to anybody about it. Who knows, you know? But Karen goes, I have a question. Mm-hmm. And Andy's like, I have a lot of questions. So she's like, so you were the CEO, right? Mm-hmm. So you were on the board then. Is that what you were saying? Mm-hmm. Is there a fly on your nose, Karen? No. And give me a second. It's me thinking. Mm-hmm.
And I am like, on the board as well as with the Hamburglar and Mayor McCheese. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you own 40% of a double cheeseburger meal. So how much of the meat does Gordon get in this deal?
I actually own more than that. I actually own more than 40%. That's why. What part of two against one did you not understand? There were two people. Then there was me. And then there was Gordon. And then I own 100%. And so their 200% kicked out our 100%.
Would you like to supersize that for 69 cents? So if you own more than they kick Gordon out, they can't take your money, can they? And she goes, yes, they can. On the operating management and the members, the managers control it. But at this point, she's just speaking nonsense. She's speaking gobbledygook.
Nonsense.
And I know what she's saying, I think. I think she's saying there's board members. And then there's managing members, and the managing members were two people and now we're three, but they control everything else. But then there's like a regular board that I guess doesn't do shit. Like, I don't know why they don't have a vote.
I don't.
But it's funny.
Unless it's like an actual board that you lie down on while they do the adjustments on your back. So then she's like, well, I'm just a vote.
It's a board walk. Oh my God, I won McDonald's Monopoly.
Also, I just want to apologize to the strippers at Robin's bachelorette party. I normally do not make it rain with burger patties, but as you can see, there was a situation.
We do what we can. So everyone's basically laughing at her because Andy's like, so wait, there's three people on the board? And she goes, no, there's a total of eight. And so everyone's just like, cracking what? Up now.
He goes, well, just 5 minutes ago, there were three. And Wendy's like, we got to carry the one. Okay. How many people are on the board? Eight. And Giselle's like, oh, I thought she was going to go down to seven now. Wow. Okay, so there's three managing members on the board, eight people on the other part of the board. You're all going 60 miles per hour towards Buffalo. Now, what happens if a board with four people are coming in the opposite direction, Mia?
Well, I'm not going to have this conversation with these ladies if they think it's funny. At this point, next question. I'm not going to play this. It's not funny. And Wendy's like, ha 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 ha.
It's just laughing her ass off. And Mia says that she still owns her steaks,
which you can ground into burgers, but what a waste, am I right?
I mean, could you imagine doing that to Wangu? So then Andy's like, well, so you're still a managing partner, so you get... She's like, well, I'm hoping to get a big return on investment. That's what I want. So then Giselle's like, let me start a rumor here, Raj. She goes, oh, did the brothers argue about the money, how the money was being spent? Because it looked like embezzlement, kind of. Like there was money that you guys were taking from the company that was paying for the house and the renovation, and then you were cut off from the bank account. So it looked a little embezzling.
Yeah, and that is what it looked like. It looks like they're spending tons of money that this family knows that they don't have, because they all have the same business, and they're bragging about it, and then bragging about how they own everything and they're supporting the whole family and this and that. Mm-hmm. And they're probably claiming it as a business expense to like to give promotions to their company and then spending the money. I think that's exactly what they're doing. Good call, Giselle. So
it is, but it's just funny the way that Giselle brought it up. Like, she just was she basically was like, in case America couldn't pick this, she's like, I'm not going to accuse you of this, but I'm just going to say this is what it looks like. And I'm going to say it here so that way everyone in America can hear.
And your husband made me uncomfortable while he was embezzling things. Ah.
Yeah.
So Mia's like, why would I go public if I was stealing money? I mean, first of all, you're on Bravo, so that's a weak defense. And second, if you're claiming it all as a business expense for promo, you wouldn't technically call it stealing yourself. You know, she's slippery. That
also, because you're stupid. Because you know what? Like, you're just because you're a criminal doesn't mean you're a smart criminal. How many people get arrested after they've gone on Wheel of Fortune in terms of they've been wanted? Why do we always hear that story? It's like you're running from the law, but you are compelled to go on to Wheel of Fortune. Criminals do stupid things.
Yeah. Well, people always say, like, when you are a Dateline or 2020 fan or whatever, people always joke, like, mystery movies and thrillers and stuff like that are so much better because in real life, criminals are morons. You know, it's not this tricky, elaborate thing that you're coming up with. It's literal stupidity. You know, they always get caught within an hour.
Yeah, all the time. So then Giselle's like, so Giselle basically is like, well, you are going on TV. You're saying all this now to get in front of it, you know? And Andy's like, okay, well, you posted that you no longer live in Potomac because of unforeseen circumstances. So I want to give you the floor to give some new type of bullshit to this conversation. She's like, thank you, Andy. So I was working as marketing director inside of the company also. I didn't know if you know that because I'm CEO and marketing director and also errand lady. So I no longer work at the company and there's no money coming in. So we are literally living off of our savings, which is zero. It's like, okay, but you're renting a house, that huge house in Potomac, and you had to give it up. So where do you live now?
Well, actually, we were renting several homes. We had a Charlotte home, and we also had a condo in Charlotte, and then we had the house here.
Like, she's bragging. Like, she's so fucking fabulous to be blowing all of this money on something that's not even an investment. I mean, so dumb.
What? And yeah, Andy goes, that's...
I mean, Andy's like, why? Why would you do that? And she goes, because we were bi-coastal. And Wendy goes, that's the same coast. But we were by.
You know, that's the point.
We're by the coast. We're by coastal. We're by the coast. I have a lot of work on the East Coast. So then Mia's like, but like, she's like, we go on the East Coast, I mean, the West Coast as well. And so Annie's like, so did you get rid of your rental properties in Charlotte? She's like, yeah, we had to. So I'm never going to be the sort of person that says, why are you renting? You should buy. Because I think it's totally fine to rent. But I do think if you're renting all those places, then it's like, okay, that's ridiculous. Like,
well, now it's fine to rent. It's just, of course, it's fine to rent. Like, I mean, I would have never lived anywhere. But
yeah,
when like, you're all those talking places, about,
what's the point?
You know, huge million-dollar homes, that's not necessary. Like, what are you doing spending 20?
Just have one?
It's crazy. It's crazy. It's just not, it's generally this? Not smart Nothing investing. Makes sense. And I'm an idiot. Okay. I'm not good with money. I have no idea, you know? But like,
yeah.
If you're spending, she says she's spending $40,000 a month on rent. That's insane.
And now she goes, and then she does this whole thing of like, yeah. So like, I was the marketing manager of the joint. I invented spines. I don't know if you know that. And I market them too. And now I have no money. So we are just living off of our savings. And he's like, well, where do you live now? We have a penthouse in North Bethesda. Like, why are you in a penthouse?
She's a nutcase, man. So Andy's like, well, you know, you share all this stuff on social and the rest of the cast is different. I mean, Giselle doesn't share shit, you know. So Giselle, what do you think about me as openness? And Giselle's like, well, at first I thought it was weird, but now I think it's smart. She wants to tell her own story her own way, Andy. Also, she's so stupid, she always gives us someone to fight with.
Yeah, that's kind of her way. She wants to tell her own story in her own way. She wants to make up her own shit. So just let her do it.
Right. So then they go on a break. She's about to get caught doing something. So she gets out ahead of it or whatever.
Yeah. So they go on break. And then Giselle FaceTimes with Grace. And she's like, oh, do you want to speak to Andy? Yeah. And Grace is like driving. And Andy's like, what are you doing? We saw you drove last season. Eyes on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And then Giselle like hangs up with, she's like, okay, bye, Grace. Hey, Andy, is this inappropriate? Have you ever been with a woman? Nah. I was like, well, that's a pivot from Grace on the phone driving to like asking if Andy's had sex with a lady.
Also weird for a woman with a gay guy for a best friend. You know, I feel like she should know better than to go around being like, have you ever been with a woman? Nah. Of course, maybe that's why Cal takes it out on her and she always looks like crazy whenever she comes out in an outfit he's picked.
Yeah. So Andy's like, no, it's not inappropriate. And no, I have not. I would love to. I would love to be with a woman. She's like, well, right. How old are you? Yeah.
And she's like, if it doesn't happen by 60, I'll do it. So then Andy's like, that would be an HR issue, which is the first time anyone's ever said that at Bravo.
Seriously. So now Andy's like, that's time to talk to Candace. So
awkward
like,
opening. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
You started this season with frozen eggs and ended with a red hot music career. One has nothing to do with the other, just I went from red hot frozen to red hot. But there you go. And an allegation from Giselle brought you back to Earth, which also doesn't have anything to do with the eggs. But
Hope your eggs aren't crushed and or defrosted. Okay, let's watch a Candace clip, everybody. So they do, and then we see the Kristoff, and then we get some unseen footage, which is Giselle in the confessional saying, I'm extremely confused by this Chris Bassett. We have completely finished shooting season 7, and 15 minutes after we finish shooting, I get this text from Chris Bassett. I'm sorry we didn't get to talk this season. 5 dots. If I truly made you feel uncomfortable, 5 dots. For that, I'm sorry. 4 dots. Is this code?
It's more remorse code. Listen, he says, I have been angry about how this all played out, and for some of the words that were used, and that is why I've been hesitant. So then she tells us, you've admitted it and apologized, and we're moving on.
So, yeah, what a weirdo. So he goes storming out of the finale, refuses to talk to her, and then immediately texts Giselle. What a wuss. So Andy's like, well, I don't know if that's an admission. He said, if you felt he was inappropriate. And she goes, well, he said, if I made you feel uncomfortable, so he's sorry. So I appreciate it. I'm done with it. Ah. And Candace is like, it's important to note that before we saw the disgustingly egregious things that she added to the story, you told 15 stories about this. She goes, what part was different? Giselle's a good liar, because I believe Giselle, even though I just watched the whole season. I'm like, yeah,
I know. I was surprised how much my needle actually moved towards Giselle this reunion. Because the whole season, I was like, listen, I've always loved Giselle, but even this felt like a stretch. This felt not quite right. But then by the end of the episode, I was like, you know, a lady's allowed to say that she felt uncomfortable by something. There's nothing wrong with saying that. So Candace is like, You're used to men trying to get with you, and you thought Chris was trying to see if you were with it. And Giselle's like, oh, yes, I apologize for that. Because basically they showed the clip of Giselle really embellishing her story, really making it sound like, you know, like Chris was in there with a hard-on for her, which is where she went wrong. That's where she went wrong with all of this.
Well, that was huge. Yeah, I mean, she was saying that Chris was he got her in the room, and then it was like he was trying to see if she's down with it. You know, she's like, I've seen married men before, and I know that's what he was doing with me. And then accusing him of grabbing the butt of the friend, you know, the Cookie Monster lady and all of that stuff. And so Candace is rightfully pissed, you know. And Candace is like, this is incredible gaslighting. No, this is not gaslighting. This is just lying. This is just straight up lying.
Well, because when Giselle apologizes, Candace is like, no, you don't get to just apologize. You don't get to just do that, you know. This was terrible behavior that you did. And Andy's like, well, so you think she never felt uncomfortable? And Rob's like, she got into the SUV afterwards and was like, I'm uncomfortable.
And Candace is like, Candace is like, that was never the issue. Is that she waited for the time it was appropriate for her to earn her check. And now the question has been posed to the table. You would like to present an apology. You can take that apology and shove it up your ass, Giselle. And she's like, oh, do you think it would look good up there? And then she laughs. And
he goes, like, okay, not accepted.
And Giselle says, well, what about him saying that I asked him to go to the room? That's a lie. That was a lie.
And Candace is like, you don't remember any part of what happened in the room. And even if he did ask to go to your room, let's play semantics. He did ask, let's go to your room. And Giselle's like, well, then why did he lie about it? And Candace is like, he didn't lie. And Giselle's like, yes, he did. And then Candace is like saying, that's not his recollection. So Andy goes, okay. I want to switch gears. Hey, how's your journey to having children going? And so Candace is saying, Candace
immediately
says,
like, oh, we have embryos, Andy. Six embryos. Andy just saved your ass from that one because she started flailing there for a second.
Yeah, and Andy's like, okay, get your square. So she gets the square and he goes, okay, now let's clear the air. Veronica from Mars says, Candace, I'm still all for defending your husband, but you kept saying that Giselle accused him of sexual assault, which she never did, and that in itself is dangerous. I just love that Andy said, like, Candace and Giselle are having this fight, and Andy goes, let's switch gears. Hey, how are your babies? How's that going? Great. Hey, okay, now we're back to the topic.
How are your baby sickles? Okay, back to sexual assault. So Candace is like, well, she accused him of assault when she said that Ashley's friend's ass was grabbed by him. Like, why are you on? She's such a weirdo today. She's like thespian Candace, you know? So then Giselle's like, well, that's what we all thought that was said. But all I said was that he made me uncomfortable. But then we see the clip of Giselle like, well, I heard he was grabbing ass. But Giselle's told everyone, and that's why everyone has heard that. And Mia, the liar fucking Mia, too.
Yeah. So Robin's like, can we agree it's not the best idea for a married man to be in a hotel room with a single woman? Like, yes, Robin, I think we can all agree on that. It's funny that's coming from you.
It was just at a hotel casino with her, big deal. Oh, Robin. So they all argue, and Andy's like, wait a minute, can I say something? And I was like, yeah, this is going to be a problem.
Yes.
You just sense it, right? He's like, this was my first reaction, and maybe it's because I'm gay and I totally don't get it, but for me, it's just like, what is this, a Victorian era? Like a man and a woman? Two responsible adults can't go in a room together alone to have a conversation? I mean, it seemed like you had a nice conversation with Chris. Okay, what part of the season did you miss? She accused him of basically tricking her and getting her to the hotel room when no one was there, and then getting skeevy with her and called him a sneaky link who wanted to bang her. Like, what are you not understanding here, sir?
Well, I think he was also saying, like, why is it a big deal that he asked to have a conversation with you in a room, right? Like, I think he's asking that too. And so
what was Candace what he did in the room, which is what she's saying. She's alleging that he was being really weird and giving her weird energy in the room or whatever.
Well, I think that really what it comes down to, I think what it comes down to is that Giselle, and she even said it at one point, was like, hey, we go into this room and it's just the two of us. And then she's basically saying, like, I don't want the rumor mills to start going. People see two of us go into a hotel room and then they start being like, ooh, they're having an affair. I think that's what she was really uncomfortable about. I don't think she was uncomfortable that, like, Chris was going to do something because she alluded to this. Maybe she was. I don't want to take that away from her. But well, I think she
literally
was
said he was trying to have an affair with her. Like, he was trying to see if she was open to having an affair.
She was like, well, I don't know. Like, maybe he's trying to see if he wants to get down with it. But she also said at a different point, during the season, I specifically remember she said something along the lines of, like, now everyone's going to start saying that we have something going on. So I think that she was like, she was uncomfortable because of maybe one of many things was that she was afraid that she was going to be in the middle of a horrific, some sort of like love triangle rumor that would have been really ugly. So instead, she's just going to be in a different kind of ugly rumor.
Yeah, she'll just try and take him, smear him instead. So Candace is, Andy tries to give Giselle an out. And he's like, so were you worried about damaging his reputation? Is that what was happening? No, like, what the fuck question is that? And Candace is like, no, that's her MO, to damage his reputation, because she's mad that her shit stinks. And Giselle's like, can I say something? Everyone wants to be like, oh, Giselle comes for families and husbands. And Wendy says, because you do. Which, I mean... Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
You know? And then she's like, yeah, but you've had a lot to say about Juan, nah. And Candace says, worry about yourself. You know, you're the ringleader all the time. And she's like, and you had a lot to say about Michael Darby, yeah.
Candace is like, this is not an All Lives Matter moment. And Andy's like, well, Giselle, the criticism was that you waited until the cameras were up and this could have been dealt with before. Were you using it as ammo? And Giselle's like, which is kind of, by the way, that's kind of funny because it felt that the fact that Giselle brought it up on camera did make it feel disingenuous. But at the same time, we have a reunion that is that starts off with Andy getting mad that Robert did something
exactly
not on camera.
Right.
So, you know, like at the same time, there is a part of me that's like, like Giselle understands her job, and her job is if shit's going on in my life, I bring it up on camera because that's what this job is. So, like, there's a part of me that understands that, but there's also a sad part of it that's like, oh, and even if that means destroying a man's reputation or a person's reputation.
Right, so because like, the difference is that Robin's trying to protect herself and her family, and Giselle is trying to slander somebody else and their family. Like, that's the difference in it. Slander. And the other difference here is that that other stuff was all true. The stuff about Juan was true. The stuff about Michael Darby was true. I mean, those rumors about Juan, who knows, maybe they're not true, but those rumors have been around on the blogs for a very, very long time, to the point where it doesn't even seem like he's trying to hide any of that stuff. You know, mm-hmm. All I know is what I hear from Sashal. Okay. But
yeah,
I do hear it. So anyway, so Giselle's like, well, we all have conversations. And Candace, yeah, says this is not an All Lives Matter moment. You are the culprit. And Andy, yeah. So then Wendy's like, look, I'm sure we'd all love to give Giselle the benefit of the doubt. However, there has now become a clear pattern of this happening time and time again with people's husbands. You have a problem, but the timing always coincidentally happens when the cameras are rolling. And Candace is like, yeah, and let me just add that I've seen this woman multiple times between the time we shot and filmed again. And Giselle says that she didn't. And Candace is like, you were at my album release. Well, that was just one time. No, I've released it 7 times between the last reunion and this.
So you want me to go and tell you this while you're singing on stage? And Candace is like, but it's okay to tell me on national television. And she goes, well, I wasn't going to tell you at all. And Candace is like, you are not smart. She goes, yeah, I think I am. And Candace goes, well, instead of talking about her uterus and what's happening in her personal life, you would rather ruin people's feelings, and you use this show to lie on people because you have nothing else going on. Your dwindling uterus was waiting for you to put it on TV. I was like, oh, I feel like, A, she did put what's going on with her hysterectomy that was addressed on the show, and I feel like, oh, classic Candace, you were doing
coming
so well.
Coming for the uterus of someone on who just had to error. Have a hysterectomy. Come on, dude. Come on, Candace. You're doing
error.
So great. You're doing so well in general. Yeah, that's it for this one. Looks like it's going to be a good reunion. More to come.
I mean, so far it's been great. I mean, I was just totally absorbed in it. So
yeah, it's a good one. All right, everybody. Well, thanks for joining us. Go get your tickets for the Crappies, for our Phoenix show, and for the live streaming Crappies event, which will be Friday night. Go get all that at watchwhatcrappens.com and check out our different cities that we'll be going to this winter and spring. Also, go to our Patreon, patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens, bonus episodes, video recaps, etc. Etc. We sure love you guys.
Love you. Talk to you in the next one. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney. Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Dana C. Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg. Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good. Can't stop fanning over Tina Manning.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Better do what she says, it's Elva Enriquez. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides. Undo your fasteners, it's Erin Kastner.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. She's a good hobby, it's Lauren Hobgood. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthews sisters. Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.